Edna, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Then in obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ's command, and upon your profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing. She brings him good, not harm. She works with eager hands. She opens her arms to the poor and needy. Her husband is respected at the city gates. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned.
We'll let you remain seated, but would you sing with us? I'd like to call our attention back to the portion of Scripture that Brother Curtis read in Psalm 35. So if you brought your Bibles, would you turn there if you haven't already? And if you did not bring a Bible, there's likely one in the pew in front of you. But I wanted to speak to you this morning, and this is a hard one. Somebody who really can't identify with being a mother is up here telling you mothers what a mother is. Well, I don't want to come across that way. And I hope that you will instead search the Scriptures. If there's anything that I say that is not in accordance with the Scriptures, go with the Bible. But I just want to share with you this morning what I believe is a model for modern mothers. And it's found in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs, verses 10 through 31. Now, this section is actually an acrostic. If you know what an acrostic is, it begins with each of the letters, successive letters of the alphabet, in this case the Hebrew alphabet, so you won't find it in the English. But I think that maybe the purpose of that is that God wants us to consider this maybe in ABCs of motherhood, or of womanhood at least. And this woman was a mother. So I think here is an ideal model for mothers today, or for any generation, mothers of any generation. Now, you know that models do abound in our culture. We have model fashion models, they're called. We have sports figures that are called models. We have role models. Sometimes we use that expression. Here is a true model. Now, not always do these other models
are not always are they people that we should model our lives after. Unfortunately, that's true. But here is a model that I believe for every mother, every aspiring mother today. Three characteristics that define this model mother I want us to look at. It says there in our chapter that a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing. Now, of course, there are single mothers, and that changes it a little bit, but it doesn't really change the principles of motherhood that we're going to look at here this morning. What do we find about this mother? Well, first of all, she is a mother of worth. That means that she has value. And it says here about the extent of her worth that it is worth, that she is worth far more than rubies. Now, in the King James Version, it says a virtuous woman. If you have one of the newer translations, now this says the New International Version, which we read, that was up on the screen here. I changed the translation that I quoted from, because here's what this translation says. It says, who can find a capable wife? Now, that seems to weaken it a little bit, doesn't it? But I think that the point that is being gotten across to us from the Word of God is that this is an exceptional wife. This is one that we should look to as a model. And again, this wife was a mother. She is worth far more than rubies. Oh, I wanted to say that virtue is not one of the most sought after character traits today, among not just among women, but everywhere. Popularity, I think, takes precedence over that often. Appearance, style, these are all seem to be higher on our value scale than virtue. But here is a virtuous woman. I think that's a good translation, incidentally. We can also learn about the effect of her worth. Here it says, the heart of her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing. Now, being able to have confidence, I think whether it's the husband or the children, for that matter, they see in this mother a consistency of life. They see that she is what she professes to be. And when she speaks authoritatively, because there isn't the wavering there. And so there is trust in this mother. And I think it's something that we should all ask ourselves. Can people trust us? Can our children trust us to be what we profess to be? Or are we different at home than we are out in public? And I have to confess some failings there. Sometimes when we had our kids, when we kind of had them all at once, as most of you know, and now our nest is empty somewhat, although we're going to have a few visitors, we think, over the summertime, hopefully just visiting. But I know what that's like to, at home, when you're in church with your family, you'd like to have the perfect family. Kids never misbehaving. Well, of course, that never happened with us, but that they never misbehaved. But, at home, you feel like you can let your hair down and just kind of be yourself. Well, sometimes yourself isn't really what needs to come out. The old self, that is. And so what I'm suggesting here, and what I think the Word of God is teaching, is that there needs to be a consistency in that effect and an expression here in that worth. Here it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. God's value system includes virtue. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, God has called us to glory and virtue. Glory and virtue. Well, we know He's called us to glory. But a virtue is the life. The life that is lived, I believe, like Jesus would have us to live our lives. And we have, if you're a Christian, then you have Jesus within. And you're going to fail at times, but He wants to live out that virtuous life through you. And I think that morality is not as unpopular as we would sometimes be led to believe. We do have a resurgence of morality, because I think we hunger and thirst for that kind of life. And so in our denomination, and it's spread to other denominations, we have, for example, the True Love Waits emphasis that our youth need to hear, but really we all need to hear, that there needs to be a chastity and purity in our lives. That's all part, I believe, of this virtuous woman that we see here, her worth. But also we can learn from her work. Her work. Now, I think there was intelligence in that work. I think this woman is intelligent, a woman of business. And if you'll read the whole chapter there, and there are, let's see, what would that be, 22 verses. Not the whole chapter, but the beginning. Well, you can read the whole chapter. You may notice that it says the words of King Lemuel. And you might think, well, no, I don't remember a Lemuel in the list of kings that I memorized. The kings of Judah and Israel. Well, there isn't a Lemuel. So some have supposed that this was a name that maybe his mother gave to Solomon. Kind of a pet name. Did any of you mothers have a pet name for your children? Well, I see a few hands. I had some pet names for about all of my kids. Your mom had a pet name for you, Warren? Oh, hey, I don't mean that kind of name. She denies that. She may have thought it. But, well, you know, that's a possibility, that this was actually Solomon who wrote this. We don't really know that Lemuel. It means, incidentally, it means for God. Isn't that a great name? We ought to be for God, shouldn't we? So I think we ought to all be like Lemuel. The intelligence of that work. Well, if you'll read through here, this translates, who can find a capable wife? You know, a capable wife. Well, I'm sure a lot of people have been on that quest of the male gender, especially. Because, frankly, there aren't that many. There aren't that many good role models out there. There are some. Praise God. But here is one that we ought to seek after, emulate. Whether you're, if you're a young man, older man, looking, you know, this is, I think, a good checklist to follow. The virtuous woman. It talks about how she selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. And that she's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Here's a businesswoman, obviously intelligent, who has a mind. And so don't let the devil or anyone tell you that all you need to do to be a good wife and mother is kind of disengage your mind. Because God wants to use that mind that He has given you and improve it. Do everything you can to be the best businesswoman and raising a family, that's a business in itself. So there's intelligence in this work of this woman that's described here, this model mother, if you will. There is initiative. Idleness is the great enemy of a productive life. I'm sure we've all heard I think it's an old English proverb, that an idle brain is the devil's workshop. And idleness, whether it's in the female gender or the male gender, is very detrimental to our Christian lives, a productive life. For example, in the Bible, it warns against slothfulness. And I want to read what it says in Proverbs 19:15, if I may. It says that slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. We have an entitlement society today, I believe, a society that has come to expect everything to be given. And there's, you know, this something for nothing mentality, I think, has kind of crept into all of our minds at one time or another. I think we've been through a period when too many people have given to understand that if they have a problem, it's the government's job to take care of it. I came across this quote from Margaret Thatcher, and if I may, I'd like to just read what Margaret Thatcher said about this subject. She said, "If I have a problem, I'll get a grant. If I'm homeless, the government must house me. They're casting their problem on society, and you know there's no such thing as society. There are individual men and women, and there are families. And no government can do anything except through people, and people must look to themselves first. It is our duty to look after ourselves and then also to look after our neighbor. People have got the entitlements too much in mind without the obligations. There's no such thing as entitlement unless someone has first met an obligation." Now that was a statement from a very strong, we would say, a strong woman, a strong leader, Margaret Thatcher. And now the Bible says that the iniquity of, you know, it calls, God says to Israel, "This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." Well, that's kind of a put down right there, isn't it? You kind of know what's coming. But he says, well, we think, you know, the wickedness of Sodom, that's proverbial. But here's what God said about Sodom. "This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, fullness of bread or pride rather, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So initiative. Here's a woman of initiative. Here's a woman of industry. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened and ambition inspired and success achieved. That's what Helen Keller said. Character, she said, cannot be developed in ease and quiet. But only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. You all know who Helen Keller was, or if you don't, she was deaf and dumb. I think she was basically closed off in her world. But here was a woman who wasn't going to let the circumstances of life that came to her without her choice rule her life. And she became a great educator, I believe. So here is a good model in this area of industry. Well, I also want to look at the area first of all, worth, work, but worship. Worship. Here's a woman of worship. And I think like Tabitha in the New Testament, Tabitha was she had another name, Dorcas. But she was full of good works, we're told, and alms deeds. And she became sick and died. You may recall that. And when Peter came to her, they showed him all of the things that Dorcas had done, all of the things that she had made, how she had clothed many of the widow ladies and others. She just had in her heart to do what she could. And they all stood around and wept at the death of Dorcas, and showed them the coats and garments which she had made. I think this woman was like that. Now, she wasn't the head of a large corporation, so far as we know, but she had a family that she took care of first. And the Bible says that if we care not for our own, especially our own families and the household of faith, which is like a family, we're worse than an infidel and have denied the faith. But here's a woman who took care of not only her family, but she did everything that she could to have an impact upon her world, to share the love of God with those more needy around us. Now, we can't do everything in meeting the needs of the world. I'm sure we've all been following the news reports that have come out of the nation, well, what used to be called Burma, and the terrible tragedy that is still unfolding there, and the tragic loss of life, and what appears to be even more tragic, just the neglect of the government there. And we sometimes feel helpless when we see all of the need in the world. And I think we can do something about that situation and maybe do more than we are doing. But certainly we can look around us and see a need that we can meet. And that's what I see in this woman of worship. She set an example. There was an expression. And if we're not living what we're professing, then we're hypocrites, aren't we? But here is a woman who was not a hypocrite. She lived what she professed. And here we're told that she feared the Lord. Now, fear is sometimes a good motivator. I heard Vance Havner, who was a Baptist preacher from North Carolina and now with the Lord, but I heard a recording of a message that he gave. And you may recall that when the ark was had been captured in the Old Testament times, it was captured by the Philistines, and the Philistines decided they didn't want it, so they sent it back. They didn't want all the judgment that God sent upon them for taking that ark. And so they sent it back, and it stayed in the house of, I think it was a man named Abinadab. Well, when it came time for the ark to be moved back to its place, which I think was Shiloh at the time, a man reached out and he tried to steady the ark, a man from the household of Abinadab, and God struck him dead. And I've often thought, as I've read that, you know, that's pretty mean of God to do something like that. He was only trying to probably keep the ark from falling, and he only had good motives. But I heard Vance Havner say that he thought it was because of the familiarity that had bred contempt in his heart, that he had lost the fear of God. And I think that that's probably true of most of us today. We don't have the reverential fear of God that we should. But here it says that she feared the Lord. And I think fear is a good thing. Sometimes we get so accustomed to certain things in our lives, certain habits, for example, that we fail to see the danger that we're in. Well, here is a woman who kept in close touch with God and had a fear of God. It says she fears the Lord. And also there is excellence in that worship. It tells us that she shall be praised. Let her works praise her at the city gates. And this worship, this attitude that she had here was a godly woman. And that godliness excelled beauty, favor, because it says charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting. Now, I think certainly we appreciate the charm, especially we of the lesser fair sex. Appreciate the charm and the beauty aspect. Like it says here, it's fleeting. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. And I want that to be my number one goal. To have a life that is a life that fears God. And I trust each of you mothers and each of you others that are not mothers would make that the goal of your life. To excel in worship of God. A life that is given over to glorifying God in your life. And a prayer that begins each day with, Lord, use me to bring glory to your name. To bring glory to your name by doing your will, by doing your work. And there are many other things that we could read about here. How her life was really a walking testimony of her love and fear of God. The hymn writer wrote, God give us Christian homes. And I believe this should be our prayer. A prayer for each of us. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the mother in queenly quest. Do you remember the old program, Queen for a Day? Some of you older people will remember that, Queen for a Day. I see some old people out there, older than me, maybe, or as old as I am, not older than me, probably. That'd be pretty old. But anyway, on that program, they would choose a woman to be queen for a day. And it was usually a woman that maybe didn't have very much or, you know, that was worthy. And they would just give her, you know, a shopping list and put a crown on her head and, you know, let her have her wishes fulfilled. Well, this is the honor that is deserved of the virtuous woman. Homes where the mother in queenly quest strives to show others your way is best. And may that be true of each mother here this morning. I believe it is. But may it be more and more true of mothers today. And may that be our prayer.